Well, good afternoon and welcome to the celebration service for the life of Julie Amanda Sidaway. I want to say a massive thank you to the church here for hosting us. It's packed. Hello to everybody who's outside as well. I'm not expecting you to cheer like at maybe a festival. You can if you want to, if those are outside. No, they're not brave enough. And we've got a camera on the wall over here, which is a live stream as well. So hello to those who are joining us online as well. This is a celebration of life service. Now, it might not feel normal. This is perfectly fine. As a small group of people, we've been over to the crematorium and we've said goodbye for like to Julie's physical remains. But this is the bit where we get to celebrate and we get to honour her life. So this is the deal. You're allowed to laugh, you're allowed to smile, you're allowed to shed a tear as well, it's all good. But what I want us all to be able to do is to commit that this is a celebration of a remarkable lady's life. You know, during the course of today, there's going to be various elements in this service. There's going to be some music that's going to be played, there's some poems. We're going to have a live song that's going to be sung as well. And I know you've all been waiting to sing a hymn as well, haven't you? Yes, you have. And we've got a hymn as well that's been handpicked for this morning, or this afternoon rather. So let me put you at ease. It's okay. It might feel a bit and happen this way. This is her intent. You know, she's had time to kind of think about how she wanted her life to be marked and to be honoured, and we've already done that today. So for those of you who don't know, earlier on, Julie and the rest of the family, they stopped outside of the headquarters at Leek Water, where Julie had worked for many years. There was a short service there where a chief constable said a few words. Debbie's here, so hello to Debbie. And then also we went off to the crematorium, and that's where we've said the farewell to the physical remains. But this is now where we get to celebrate her soul and her character and her spirit and all of the things that you've connected with her over the years. I'm going to try and get back on track with my notes. But the big thing is, I want you to feel at ease. This is a celebration. You know, the description that I've just given around our bodies, I think a good way of describing our bodies is it's a bit like a tent. It houses our spirit, it houses our soul, but some we still celebrate her life, her spirit, and her a particular welcome to those who are here who've cared for Julie while she faced adversity. We honour you. And we're grateful for the treatment, the love, and the care and support you've showed to Julie and to the wider family. Welcome to those today, and also as far away as Barnsley, who are joining us online as well. And there's lots of personal circumstances why people can't be with us today. So through the wonders of technology, I'm glad that you're able to join with us. Also, a particular thank you from Ben and Adam to those who have travelled from Cornwall, from Germany, and for those who've lost their luggage, if they've travelled over from America as well. It's great to have you with us today. Thank you that you've been able to prioritise being here to celebrate Julie's life. It's been a pleasure for me to get to know more about Julie's life through conversations with Ben and with Adam and with some of Julie's friends. This is a time of celebration, and I hope that we all learn new things about Julie as people share different perspectives and understanding and their relationship with her. Though this is a time of celebration, I know it can be hard. I know it can be really difficult for people, but it's okay. This is the time when we choose to honour her life. The first person who's going to come and share with us is a lifelong friend of Julie. They attended school together. She was also one of her bridesmaids. and that's Lucy. So I'd like to invite Lucy to come and share a few words, and also she's going to read a poem as well.
Public speaking course, which neither of us relished. I am privileged to share this poem with you, comforted by imagining Julie cackling to herself about my position here today.
Even out at Epop. Sprog number 3, a healthy baby girl named Julie Amanda Wilkins, sister to Andy and Brian, daughter to Liv and Jill. He lived in Lee Quitton, the very village we're in now, and aside from a few years in the middle, it's where you resided for the majority of your childhood. It's where you worked for a great deal of your career, where you spent afternoons as a teenager swooning over the local cricket players, and where you spent Sunday evenings with Linda listening to the top 40 that you'd recorded onto cassette. Your technology skills never did improve. It was in 1975 that your parents divorced, a separation which brought two new wonderful people into your life, Fred and Barb, and you moved to Kenilworth. 1984, and you joined the force, a proper copper. Not really. In those days, you were a mere woman. 08, Julie Wilkins. Your title wasn't the only difference in policing between now and then. Back in the 80s, by the stories I've heard in recent weeks, you spent more time pranking or being pranked than actually fighting crime. It was during several of these pranks that your relationship with our dad, Steve, began to kindle. Whether being soaked with a fire hose in Leamington Nick, or having a sheet of newspaper on fire being chucked into the toilet with you, they really were odd challenges. And we won't even mention the badger incident with Bill. The relationship bloomed, and a year later you'd moved in together. Another year you were engaged, and then in 1991, you lived in St. Peter's Church in Bath. In 1995, your life rocketed from average to fantastic with the birth of your favourite and number one son. Adam's now wishing that he'd done the eulogy and not the poem. In fact, you adored me so much and knew just how perfect I am that you and Dad decided to have another one. How disappointed you must have been in 1999 when Adam was born. Despite the happy birth of two children, pregnancy wasn't without its challenges, as both Adam and I were born prematurely, me by a month and Adam by three. Within a few years of us being here, me having started at All Saints Primary School down the road, we moved back into your childhood village of Leekwitton, into Pangbourne, a gorgeous house on the main road. Rooms we didn't know what to do with, enormous gardens to explore, and chickens aplenty. This would be where we'd reside for the next 6 years. Now, while sitting and writing this, Adam recited the time where he'd stood on a ledge behind the garage, peered over the neighbour's fence, and saw his first boob. Unfortunately for him, said boob was attached to a statue in the neighbour's garden. Unfortunately, living on the main road did bring with it a key disadvantage for you. It was in direct conflict with your love of owning cats. After losing two to passing traffic at Barford, a further two at Pangbourne, one of them courtesy of an MIU colleague, and you'd go on to lose another two in Savile Grove, cats really did need more than nine lives if they were to live with you. Perhaps then it was time for a change. In 2007, competition for Linda's place as best mate began when a sprightly little Cocker Spaniel puppy was born, Bella. Writing this, again, Adam helpfully interjected. I wanted to share a quick synopsis of Bella's life. Adam replied, woof, 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 woof. Trained as a gun dog, Bella was intelligent, fast, incredibly obedient, and the most gorgeous little dog we could have ever wished for. I say incredibly obedient. That was the case until she got a whiff of a rabbit scent and bolted across field after field, not to be seen again until sunset. Indeed, after going through the assessment week to become a police sniffer dog, she caught on to a scent and refused to come back, having the whole of the Warwickshire dog section out looking for her. It's no secret that she became your permanent companion after your separation with Dad and onwards into your illness. Her sensitivity, ability to read our emotions and unwavering love were unrivalled, and there'll never be another dog quite like Bella. After moving from Leekwitton and looking to start a new life on your own, a house in Savile Grove seems like a nice little place in an okay road. How far from the truth that could have been. You soon found yourself wrapped up in one of the closest-knit roads in Kenilworth. Neighbours you formed lifelong friendships with, street parties which made the national news, and a community who loved you and you loved back. 2012 is a year we probably all remember fondly, with the Royal Wedding, Diamond Jubilee and London Olympic Games. However, for you it brought the worst news in your life. You'd found a lump and it was cancer. However, in true Julie fashion, you were determined to not let this limit or define you. Whether it was being back at work just days after chemo, going out for a meal the day you left hospital after your first operation, or attending the Paralympic Games in a headscarf, you never gave those lumps the satisfaction of dragging you down. In remission just 8 months later, two normal years followed, filled with your overwhelming intention to fill every day with positivity, a commitment you continued to stick to despite the return of the cancer in 2015. This horrendous news did nothing other than to reignite your desire and passion for life. Your love of running flared, completing the two castles yet again, and reminiscing of memories of races gone by. The London Marathon, Tough Guy, Not the Roman Nine, and countless others. Retiring from the police during this meant you spent more time with Bella than ever before, taking long walking trips to beauty spots and seaside towns. You adored sitting at the top of Abbeyfields Hill and watching people pretend they weren't out of breath as they climbed it. You and Linda became ever more inseparable, often being mistaken for a couple, and leading Linda to begin to introduce you to each new person that you met as, "Don't worry, we're not gay." There are very few people who can truly say that they made the most of every day, but you really were one of them, and this continued to the very end. On Friday the 6th of May 2022, you travelled to a place that I can only describe as heaven on earth, Myton Hospice. You spent your final days here surrounded by those you loved the most, and the team of nurses, angels in human form who cared for us as well as they did for you. At around 3:30 a.m. on Wednesday the 11th of May, Linda and Glynis woke me and Adam from our sleep, and we knew the inevitable was near. As I woke, the three of them already stood around your bed, and I slowly wandered over. I reached out, held your hand and said, "It's okay, Mum, your favourite one's here now." And a second later, you took your final breath. So after much deliberation over the years between me and Adam, I can finally and safely say that I really was the favourite child. I didn't know how to end this without crying and making you all feel sorry for me, so instead I'll leave you with this. 5:30 a.m, around 2 hours after Mum died, and Linda, Glynis, Adam and I are leaving the hospice. Linda and Glynis are heading home, and Adam and I are driving separately to St Nick's Park to start making phone calls. As I pull out of the hospice car park, my radio turns onto Radio 1, and the chorus of a song released the day before, which I'd never heard before, begins playing. The lyrics I heard in that moment epitomise everything Mum wanted us to do in her passing. We must not be sad that she's no longer here, but instead celebrate her life and remember that she made all our lives that little bit brighter.
She said, green, green grass, blue, blue sky, you let us go party on the day that I die. Green, green grass, blue, blue sky, you let us go party on the day that I die. Green, green grass, blue, blue sky, you let us go party on the day that I die. Green, green grass,
that was tremendous. Let's show our appreciation once more. I hope you're learning more and developing a more rounded view of Julie's life. As work colleagues, you may see one element. As a neighbour, you may see another element. As a close friend, you see all kinds of stuff. But part of the privilege of being here today is you get to see so much more and learn so many things about Julie's life. Now, this is the bit I know you've all been waiting for. This is where we're going to sing a hymn together. So this is where we need to grab our orders of services. I think you're heading somewhere roughly to the middle, maybe back a page. Are we going to sing a hymn together? The hymn's called Jerusalem. It's been handpicked, and it's a good, rousing rugby song. So I'm just putting it out there. There is an expectation that you are going to sing your hearts out for this. So can I encourage you to stand, and we'll sing our hymn, Jerusalem. Absolutely. Julie's handpicked so much of what's gone on today. I just want to take a moment just to honour Ben and Adam. Over these last couple of weeks, we've met, we've had conversations, text messages, spreadsheets, no less. We've planned well to come to this point in time to make sure that everything that Julie had asked for, that we've got chance to be able to do today. And I think they've both done remarkable job in doing that. So let's honour both Adam and Ben. We're now going to have another poem, and this one is going to be read to us by Julie's youngest son, Adam.
Just before I start the poem, I'd just like to correct one thing in Ben's eulogy. I can confirm that I was actually her favourite child, and Ben's not speaking again after me, so this will forever have to be accepted as the correct answer, just so you all know. I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to say today. Ben was doing the eulogy, but what I did know that was that I wanted to try and echo the amazingly positive outlook that Mum had on life, an outlook that I've always tried to adopt myself. Mum was always such a strong, positive, outgoing and loving person, and she grew the most of every single day. Even when Ben and I would tell her that she needed to rest more, she bravely powered on living life, making memories with so many of you that are here today. Mum and I saw this poem together a few years ago and agreed it really embodied her approach to life. I hope it really inspires us all to follow her mantra, to spread positivity and love, making the most of life every single day. It dries your mouth out doing this. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from beginning to end. He noted that first came the birth, and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said that what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time they've spent alive on earth. And now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left, but it can still be rearranged. And be less quick to anger and show appreciation more. And love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and to always try to understand the way other people feel. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, you can be proud of the things they say about how you lived your dash. Thank you.
Yeah, poignant poem, don't you think? The dash. We've got a song for you now. It's going to be sung live by Adam's best friend, Chris. And this beautiful song is called My Man, Your Boy.
Light that should shine bright for you, my mind. sorry for the stupid things I do. Sorry for the stranger I've become.
Thank you, Chris. Excellent. And that was one of Julie's favourite songs as well. Julie had had a long and successful career in policing. One of the extraordinary things in policing, and particularly evident in Warwickshire Police, is that sense of family. We can't come up with another word to describe it, but it is a sense of family. Not only do you have colleagues, but you have a police family. It's like an extended part of your family. I'd like to invite one of the police family, a dear friend to Julie, to bring his tribute with the formal title, Superintendent Pete Hill.
I would like to start by saying how privileged I feel to be asked by Adam and Ben to say a few words about their mum, Julie Sidaway. I'm going to spend a few minutes telling you what you already know. Julie was a wonderful person, both inside and out. As you know, Julie dedicated much of her life to serving the public, first joining Warwickshire Police as a cadet in 1982. For the younger people in the audience, 1982 was a time when they played real music on the radio. Renee and Renato was Christmas number one with Save Your Love. Sony Walkmans are the size of a shoebox, and mobile phones didn't exist. So if you said you were going to the pub, you went to the pub. Julie survived all of the outward bound adventures that they used to cadets in those days. This was before health and safety was really a thing, where the trainers thought falling from a great height from a cliff was actually character building. As we know, Julie was resilient and made of tough stuff. The cadets were a breeze. Julie joined the regulars aged 18 and a half years on the 16th of April 1984. She was known then as Policewoman 0018, our kind of James Bond. Julie Wilkins. Julie spent the early part of her year in the south of the county in a place that she called home. When her sons Adam and Ben were born, Julie moved into the control room at Leet Wootton. In 1986, Julie completed a Homes Indexes course. And for those non-police colleagues in the room, Homes stands for the Home Office Large Major Inquiry System, which in effect was just a really big computer with a black screen and green text that, if we're being honest, wasn't cutting edge but slightly better than a paper and a pen. It was the Indexes course that ultimately brought to life Julie's desire to get involved in the complex world of major investigations, and it was in this area that she excelled. Julie became an essential member of the team for hundreds of serious investigations that would take place in Warwickshire over the next 30 years. Today, as we've heard, is about celebrating Julie's life. So what could be better than hearing the words that Julie wrote when she left the police service in 2017? Julie wrote an ode, a poem, about her time spent in the police service. You may not realise this, but police officers sometimes say rude things. Not Julie, obviously, but here are a few, so there are a few things I've had to edit or omit to save everybody's blushes. And I clearly won't do Julie's poem or ode justice, but here we go. After 34 years with Warwickshire Police, it's time to say goodbye, to reflect on the years, good and bad times, which I'd leave with a heavy sigh. In 1986, an Indexes course gave me the bug for the MIR, With Alan, Nikki and Mandy too, Alan's job was my dream job from afar. In 2014, with 30 years in the job, I retired but then came back. The job I'd wanted, running the homes room, I thought I'd give it a crack. The last 3 years has surpassed all my hopes with fun and laughs on the way, and the job we do best, helping victims of crime, is what we do so well day by day. Some jobs leave a mark for all sorts of reasons, and for me, I'll never forget. Operation Chapeltown, Deerfield, Ankara, Budapest First, and even in Act. So many thank yous for your help and support you've given me over the years. It's the day that I leave with great memories held, and hopefully not any tears. I've loved working with each and every one of you, with some particular characters of note, so I'll mention a few who I will never forget and the memories that they'll always promote. Varnsey, Gilesy, Con, Peter Hearn, and Haggers have made me laugh till I've cried. Chubby, with his glass that's not always half full, but I've told him, well, I've tried. Buzz, with his tolerance of the ladies' loo, and Owen, whose one-liners do shock. I can't read the next line for obvious reasons because I'm in a church, so I'll move on. I want to say thanks for your love and support to my home staff who have always been loyal. We've shared tough times and great times in all our lives, in our work life and personal trials. To Pete, Adi and Jim, who've gone above and beyond, all expected of them as my boss, with tissues at hand at really difficult times when I was suffering or in pain or just cross. 5 years of illness is forcing my hand to move on to a new stage in life, to leave a job that I've loved so much, to a time with less stresses and strife. I have to look forward rather than back to making memories with my children and friends, to relaxation and rest from the early morning starts and to whatever my new life will send. My successor will be lucky to take on this role with a great group of people nearby. Keep on doing what you do, stay professional and proud, and on that note, I bid you goodbye. I think the poem gives you a feel for the real Julie, her courage and bravery, and what being a member of the police service actually meant to her. We all know that Julie battled cancer for a decade, but did you know she would undergo brutal cancer treatment on one day, and the next day, or within a couple of days, she would be back at work as if nothing was wrong. The strength of character that Julie demonstrated was truly humbling. She was our RoboCop. Although public service was a massive part of Julie's life, there was much more to Julie than just work. As you've heard, Julie had a huge circle of friends, both inside and outside work. She was good company and had an excellent sense of humour. Despite everything that Julie had to deal with, she always found time to see friends and family. Julie was one of those people who was good at anything she put her mind to. She was good at running, as we've heard. There are many of us who trailed in behind Julie during the Two Castles 10K run, even after she'd been treated for cancer. Julie leaves behind her two sons, Ben and Adam, who she loved dearly and was so proud of. The boys have been there to support their mum every step of the way, which I know would have brought Julie such comfort. Julie was a role model, an inspiration, a truly wonderful person, both inside and out. Take a moment to remember Julie, Julie the daughter, Julie the mum, Julie the friend. Think about how lucky we've been to spend time with this beautiful human being. It's okay to be sad, but be happy sad, because that's what Julie would want. I'd just like to finish on a quote. Death leaves a heartache no one can heal. Love leaves a memory no one can steal. Rest in peace, Julie Sidaway.
One of the notable things that I've learned about Julie's life has just been touched upon by Pete. Some people in policing are very policing-centric. All of their friends are within policing. The whole social circle revolves around their shift patterns. And I find the most stable people in policing who have got the balance of friendships and the friendship circle that stretches beyond policing. And it's been so admirable over these last few weeks to hear of the stories of the friendships and some of the antics as well, that those friendships have involved, places that they've been and things that they've done. And it's an admirable trait to have. And for those of you who may be involved with policing, you know so well the journey that Julie has walked that takes so much commitment and so much dedication. And she's done a remarkable job of raising two fine young men, but also establishing such a wonderful friendship group as well. We're going to have a time of reflection now and listen to a song called Sissy's Song. Listen out for the lyrics in one of the verses that says, "I know she's smiling, saying, don't worry about me. It's hard to say goodbye. Her picture in my mind will always be of times I cherish." and I won't cry, because she flew to heaven on the wings of angels. Please do take these few minutes to do as the songwriter says, to picture Julie in your mind and the times that you cherish.
Reason without rhyme, lovely, sweet young woman, daughter, wife, and mother, makes no sense to me. I just have to believe she flew up to heaven on the wings of angels by the clouds and stars and paths where no one sees. And she walks with Jesus and her loved ones waiting. And I know she's smiling, saying, don't worry about me. Loved ones she left behind, just trying to survive and understand the why, feeling so lost inside. Anger shot straight at God, been asking for his love, empty with disbelief, just hoping that maybe she flew up to heaven on the wings of angels by the clouds and stars and paths where no one sees. And she walks with Jesus and her loved ones waiting, and I know she's smiling, saying, don't worry about me. It's hard to say goodbye, her picture in my mind will always be of times I'll cherish. Now I won't cry, cause she flew up to heaven on the wings of angels by the clouds and stars and paths where no one sees. And she walks with Jesus and her loved ones waiting, and I know she's smiling, saying, don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me.
Another beautiful song. Oh yeah, just have a look at the front cover of your order of service. I just love this picture. Julie on the front cover, looking stunning there. The glitter setting off her smile, the flower garland like a crown. Her eyes, it's like a knowing look that connects deep within your soul when you look at this picture. I've heard so much in the recent days and weeks about Julie. Her resilience, her smile, her commitment, her determination, her passion. And I'm sure each of you, whether here or online, I'm sure you could add other descriptive words to describe Julie and her attributes. All of her characteristics will make her a very hard person to ever forget. After the service, Ben and Adam have arranged for some flower seeds to be given out. So they'll be available on the door on the way out. And these flower seeds are something for you to physically remember Julie's life by. I know Glynis, who's online, has painstakingly filled these envelopes with the seeds, counted them out one by one. We won't talk about why the seeds weren't in the envelope, but thank you, Glynis, for doing so. But the seeds that are inside of this envelope are called forget-me-nots. And I've done a little bit of research to understand the backgrounds of forget-me-nots, and to understand the origin of them. And they can be traced back to the ancient Greek. And forget-me-nots, the flowers, symbolise four things. These are the four things that they symbolise. True love. They hold a strong, deep meaning of love. The second thing, fidelity, which is a sign of faithfulness. Next one is lasting connection. This symbolises a strong, unbreakable bond. And the fourth thing, remembering somebody, choosing to always remember. As I think about Julie's life and I think about her legacy, I can't help but draw a comparison between those four attributes that I've just described in the forget-me-not flowers. True love, the strong and deep meaning of love. You are a reflection. Each of you are a reflection. You're a reflection of Julie's strong, deep love through your relationships and friendships that you've enjoyed with her. The sign of faithfulness. I heard today how disappointed Julie was when she retired as an officer and one significant unresolved case was outstanding. The diligence she showed back in the 90s paved the way for a significant conviction that she was able to witness in later life. Julie's faithfulness in how she served the public is truly admirable. The third one was the lasting connection, a strong, unbreakable bond. Although Julie may no longer be walking alongside us, many of you recognise a strong, unbreakable bond remains through your shared experiences and your love for Julie. As you take this packet of seeds, don't just keep the packet as a reminder, almost as a souvenir of being at the celebration service. But I want you to take that packet with you, and I want you to plant those seeds. Don't just keep the packet. Sow them so you can watch them multiply. Be inspired by Julie. Take her attributes, take her qualities, her characteristics, and intentionally reproduce them in your own lives too. The thing about forget-me-nots is when you plant them and you ensure the conditions are right, they reproduce seeds and they continue to flower and to continue to flower and flower and flower. And my encouragement is, the things that you've heard said and done from here talking about Julie, if we all take some of those seeds from her life, plant them into our life, let them germinate, let them grow, and in turn, we'll all have a much better society. Take those, plant them, and watch them grow. Julie's family are very grateful for the care she received through Mighton Hospice. The family set what they thought was an ambitious target of raising £10,000. But you know what? They're almost there. That money that's been raised isn't just a let's do something. Let's do something significant to continue to support the work of Mighton Hospice. So through generous donations and fundraising that's taken place, they're already at £9,500. And this is where we need your help. So when we wrap up here shortly, we're heading over to the Warwickshire just next door. And what we've arranged is a digital donation point that's going to be on the bar. Now, before you all start pointing fingers at one another, whoever gets a round in, so whether it's the first round, second, third, fourth, or last one, whichever one it might be, what we're asking you to do, would you kindly get one in for Julie by tapping on the donation point and buying a drink that can help boost that fundraising up to £10,000. Does that sound like a good idea? And let's hope that by last orders, we've smashed that £10,000. So I think it's a brilliant idea. Well done, lads, for being able to pull this together. So please do all muck in with this. get one in for Julie as part of Let's Support Moyton Hospice and the incredible help and support that they've been to so many people. On behalf of Ben and on behalf of Adam and the wider family, I'd like to thank each of you for being here today, whether you're in person, whether you are online, or whether you're some of the few who've been dodging the drill. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your kind messages, and thank you for the love and support that the family have received. We are drawing Julie's celebration of life service to a close. And the last thing I'd like to do is pray a prayer of thanks for Julie's life. Would you please stand as we pray? Heavenly Father God, on this day, we are full of emotions as we both grieve and celebrate. Emotions of heartache through to pride, from sorrow to joy, from loss to an overwhelming sense of love. We give thanks for Julie's life, the seeds she has sown into each of us, the courage she has admirably demonstrated, the passion for each day, and the love she has shared with her family and friends. For each person joining in prayer, may they experience your peace and comfort too at this time. We particularly think of Ben and Adam and the wider family. May they sense your comforting presence in these coming days. May we all be spurred on to reproduce the qualities of Julie's character in our lives too. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. You are all welcome to come and join with the family over at the Warwickshire just next door. Please continue the stories. Please continue the little anecdotes. Try and talk to somebody you've never met before. Swap some stories and engage and continue to celebrate her life. Thank you all for attending. Thank you for everybody who's been a part of celebrating Julie's life today. I think it'd be fitting if we ended this celebration service with a round of applause.
Never will forget those nights. I wonder if it was a dream. Remember how you made me crazy. Remember how I made you scream. I don't understand what happened to our love. Babe, I'm gonna get you back. I'm gonna show you what I made.
Thank you. Forever, I should just let them go.